I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
The following program has been pre-recorded. Thanks for tuning in this weekend to Let's Talk Portland, Odyssey Portland's weekly public affairs program. I'm Gary Bloxham. On the show this time, I'd like to welcome Mary Kay Michaels. Mary Kay is the chair of the Big Village Coalition. Hi there, Mary Kay. Welcome to Let's Talk Portland.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
Sure. So I think we probably should get started today by having you explain to us what Big Village is.
Big Village is an organization that wants to engage youth in our community and provide them with some life skills and tools to aid them in avoiding substance use at their young age.
And what's the mission that you guys have?
To decrease the substance use amongst our youth. We know that because their brains are not fully developed when, you know, kids are in middle school, high school, early 20s, that them using substances can have long-lasting negative effects.
Yeah, I would imagine that's it's pretty severe at that young age.
It is. It is.
What kind of substance abuse are we talking about? Is this hard drugs, marijuana, alcohol, all the above?
It's all the above. So definitely alcohol and marijuana are two that, you know, because they're legal, because they see so many people using them as adults, it's kind of an attractive thing and fairly easy to get. But we're out to teach them about all of the substances out there and what to be careful with.
What kind of problem is substance abuse right now for young people?
About 27% of high schoolers in a recent survey showed that they had used alcohol in the past 30 days. So it is not all teenagers that are using or experimenting. It is a good portion. And again, because they're using when their brains aren't fully developed, it's a bigger issue than a lot of people think.
Compared to 10 years ago, is this an increase?
It is a decrease in some aspects for alcohol, and it can be seen as there is an increase in marijuana use, though.
Okay. So what inspired the creation of Big Village PDX?
Initially, it was 2012, and the coalition was formed by community members to address the high-risk drinking among young adults in Portland's nightlife district. So they are seeing all these nightclubs, and they are seeing youth, and even youth that are old enough to drink, but they saw them binge drinking and getting into trouble and having some, you know, bad life experiences after drinking. So they wanted to increase the safety in that nightlife district. So they attracted some diverse stakeholders, gained some momentum, and began addressing the alcohol policy issues, underage drinking, and youth marijuana use. So that's how it started. From there, we kind of grew that into let's help teens address use of alcohol and marijuana and other substances.
Was this when we had some underage nightclubs in Portland?
Yes.
Are there still underage nightclubs? I'm out of the scene, I guess.
I don't think so. And I shouldn't say yes so affirmatively. That was my understanding, but I wasn't around at 2012 when they started.
Okay. How does Big Village PDX engage with the local community, and what impact have you observed so far?
We help Portland high schools establish and run clubs based on the tenets of our organization. We've been able, through that connection to students at different high schools and having them connect with, you know, take a leadership role and connect with other students, we've been able to send those leader students to CADCA training multiple times. CADCA is a nonprofit organization that's committed to creating safe, healthy, and drug-free communities globally. There is some grant funding that goes along with that we've been able to enjoy in the past, but it's really exciting to see the students take a leadership role and recruit other students to join in the fun of some sober activities and things to do, and some self-care activities to learn how to cope with issues that come up before they turn to drugs or alcohol.
I would imagine that makes a big impact when your peer, a person who's your age and maybe in your school or just your age, and they can express and show you the right way to do things without substance.
Exactly. In this prevention work, youth-led movements are the most well-received by other students for exactly the reasons that you stated. So it's really important that we do that. We also present to school and community groups, including we'll be at registration at high school events, tabling there and talking to students and parents that come through. So we also want to reach out to those parents and teach them how to talk to their kids about these issues and what to look out for.
How specifically, besides kind of youth mentors, how do you help these students?
We have a person that's on staff that's his goal. His role is to engage with those students. And I think our ability to take them to these trainings in different parts of the country has been really valuable because they learn what prevention is, what it means, how to help their fellow students. One of the exercises they even did at those trainings was to kind of map out around their school where dispensaries were, where liquor stores were, to just see, you know, the impact of those kinds of things in their immediate neighborhoods, to really take a look at that and be informed about what's going on in their neighborhoods.
Could you maybe share some success stories? What kind of success have you seen so far?
Seeing those teens involved in the clubs at school is really rewarding. They've done activities with students even before homecoming game. They'll pass out. We'll get them some Big Village swag that they can pass out and just, you know, encourage people to encourage the students to join them and just being drug and alcohol free. At one high school, we had a peer support group that we facilitated. Again, it's all students. So we were just there to help guide them if they needed that. But that was really inspiring because they were able to help each other and share life's challenges and talk about positive experiences and positive activities that they've done to help basically their self-esteem. We were also in one of those CADCA trainings this last January. It was in Washington, D.C. And two of the students that we took from McDaniel High School were able to meet with Senator Merkley while they were there. And that was such an inspiring event for them to be able to be heard by a politician about what kinds of things were on their mind around this subject. That was amazing.
I bet that was, wow. What that was, yeah. I can't even put it into words. That must have been pretty great.
It was great.
Yeah. Where did the name Big Village come from?
I honestly don't know that, to be fair. I think that they were, you know, back in 2012 when they were looking at this problem, it wasn't just a problem at the bars and nightclubs. It was a community issue. And so they were kind of addressing that feeling of, you know, it does take a village and we are this big village of Portland.
I think that makes perfect sense. So you do know where it came from. Well, now, does Big Village do most of its work in the Portland metro area or specifically in downtown Portland, or where do you do your work?
It's the metro area. So we work, we are available to work with all of the Portland public schools. So that's a really wide range of schools.
Yeah.
We also, you know, are friends and partners with other organizations that do the same kind of work in other counties. So we have a pretty wide area that we cover.
We're talking today with Mary Kay Michaels, the chair of the Big Village Coalition. So Mary Kay, what sets Big Village PDX apart from other community organizations in the area?
I think a lot of people associate prevention work with recovery from substance misuse disorder. And really, we're trying to do prevention. We're trying to help youth make good decisions, have a lot of tools in their tool belt so that if they come up with some conflicts or some hard times in their life, they have places to go, people to reach out to, tools to use before they turn to any kind of substance to kind of numb the pain. That's really powerful for them.
Besides numbing the pain, why do some students turn to substance abuse? Is that the main reason?
Yeah, you know, it can be. It's, you know, it's a very conflicting time for them. It's sometimes it's tough being a teenager. I sure wouldn't want to go back and do it again.
Oh, no.
So I think, you know, getting away from it and just numbing it and having that camaraderie with people who are. So if you go to a party and everybody there seems to be drinking, it's pretty easy to say, like, well, I'm going to do that too. If you don't know what can happen because of that use, you're more likely to just imbibe and not worry about it so much. So we want to make sure they understand what they're putting in their bodies, what it can do to their bodies and brains, and also mainly what to do to avoid that. If you're feeling down, you're feeling low, what are some things you can do that aren't substances that can make you feel better?
Teens think they're impervious to everything, don't they?
They do. They do.
I remember that feeling.
Yeah.
As I'm sure you do too.
Yes.
You're going to live forever and nothing's going to hurt you.
Right.
Yeah. What kind of impact have you seen social media have on teens and substance abuse?
There's a huge impact from that. There has been, you know, for both sides, we use social media to try to, you know, get our message out as much as other people are using it to share messages we're not happy about. So, but it does have an impact. And I think, again, if you see someone that is an influencer on your social media as a teen and you see them do something with substances, it seems like it's okay then for you to do it too. So we are looking at that and we're trying to balance that out with some other positive messages.
And social media has a real impact on self-esteem with kids.
It does. It does. Those poor kids are comparing themselves to everyone out there. And a lot of those lives are not real, you know, so right. They're only seeing pieces of it. And that's really hard on them.
What do you think was different back in the day before social media? Kids still got into substance abuse at that time.
They did. But we didn't have, you know, that pressure of seeing so many people outside of the circle. It was the kids in your school that you were seeing. It was kids in your community, in your church groups, and any other on your athletic teams or in drama. Those are the people that you were hanging out with. Those are the people that you got messages from. Now it's people that you don't know personally at all that could live, you know, in another country, let alone another state. And so I think that there's just so much more access to different people and different messages that it just bombards them.
Yeah.
And it can be really difficult to deal with.
Well, a lot of things on social media are just not real, right?
Exactly. And the other thing about social media is it's a lot easier for people to say really harsh things to someone else if mm-hmm. they're behind a keyboard than if you're doing it in person. You know, there's a lot of people that will say negative things on social media that they would never walk up to that individual in person and say. So I think it just magnifies that and makes it so much more common. And that's pretty hurtful.
Yeah, for sure. We're talking today with Mary Kay Michaels, chair of the Big Village Coalition. So what specific needs or challenges does Big Village aim to address?
Well, we're constantly trying to grow. We do constantly try to partner with other groups that have the same goal as ours so that we can share resources and cover more ground. We're always looking for funding. We're always looking for different viewpoints on our board and committees. So we want to keep growing. We did an event this past Saturday that was amazing. And it was our first time putting on this community event. We're very anxious to do it again and again and again. We had great response from those who attended and from all of our vendors that came and wanted to share their messages with students and teachers and students and parents. So we opened it up to the entire community and spread the word and had everything from high school students to parents to other adults just interested in learning about it. We even had some art activities for youth. So we had some kids that were joining their parents and they got to do some really awesome art activities. So it was a really great event. And that's really, we worked a couple of years on putting that together and we're really excited about it. And that's kind of what we want to do is help build those school groups that we have going on at high schools and just keep getting those messages out there. And B, this conference has become a really big passion project for us.
Yeah, it was called the Prevention Rocks Conference, right?
It was, yes.
Where did you have it?
We had it at McDaniel High School, which is a beautiful campus. So we had it there. We had about 20 exhibitors with tables that were just there to provide information about everything from recovery. Recovery Gym was there. Push is there. They're a program that encourages skateboarding as part of a recovery program. So we had that aspect. We had groups there talking about mental health resources that are available for people and reducing that stigma around mental health so that there's no shame in that. Lots of different types of vendors that were there. We even had a llama. And then we provided workshops as well, things like bystander intervention, which was a student presented workshop teaching people if you are in fact in a place where you see a fellow student and you don't know what's happening, but they seem to be in some kind of health crisis, how can you best help them? So things like that, workshop topics around eliminating self-rejection, like how do you love yourself? That's such an important topic for all of us that
we can
get to. The brain science of motivation. Like we had some really excellent presenters there. How to talk to your team. We had a great keynote session on that. How do you talk to your teens in a way that they're going to listen? Because we all know that's challenging. I know it's challenging. Mine are in their 30s now, so it's a different story. But boy, parenting a teen is a tough go. So we provided a lot of really great information for people.
So can you give us some clues on how to talk to your teen?
It's a difficult thing. It was a really long presentation in fact, one of our team members came up to me afterwards and she's like, I'm so glad I was here for that. You know, she's helped put on this conference and she was even like, wow, that was amazing. It gave me so many clues on how to talk to my teen. Instead of saying like, why don't you do more to help around the house? Why are you always on your devices? But instead trying to kind of redirect and offer other activities to do, get into a place where you're not, in this contentious thing, go for a walk together, go for a hike together, throw a ball around, something where you can say like, what's on your mind? What's happening in your life that might have you feeling like you want to escape into your phone all the time. So it's kind of a more inquisitive, motivational approach.
Yeah, just kind of starting that conversation. It's a hard thing to do, but just starting that conversation and keeping it a conversation and not just telling them what to do or how disappointed you are that they're looking at their phone all the time.
Yeah, exactly. And it's not, you know, we always say too, it's not just you don't sit your teens down and say like, this is what drugs can do to you. This is why you should stay away from them. It's a constant conversation and connection with your kid, knowing what they're feeling and doing and who they're hanging out with. So it's not, you know, being a helicopter parent necessarily, but it's really that connection with another human being and being a soft place for them to go to be able to say like, I'm feeling really sad. People are saying things about me at school, whatever it is that they know where they can go to have a soft place to land.
Yeah. Open lines of communication, always important.
Yes, for sure.
So probably one of the biggest worries for a parent when they have a teenager is that they are perhaps going to get involved in some sort of substance abuse. What do parents think of Big Village and the work that you do?
We've had a lot of great responses about that. We've had some workshops that we've done for parent nights at schools. We offer that to any high school that's interested. We'll come and do a parent night and talk to the parents there about, kind of just information about what's out there is really important. One of the things that we talk a lot about is how cannabis is so different than it used to be. So when all these parents, you know, years ago might have tried it or used it, it's a very different ball game now. It's easier for kids to get, and the THC content is so incredibly high that it can do things like cause psychosis in teen brains. So it is a different picture. And because their brains are not developed, saying that, oh, they're going to experiment, they're going to try things, I'm not worried about it, to me is really scary. Because again, everything's, you don't know what's in that pill that Johnny brought to school and wanted to share with you. You don't know how powerful the THC is in an edible or a joint that you're smoking. It is a very different ball game because of that. So I think it's really important to make sure that parents understand too what those effects are.
Well, and fentanyl is such a big problem right now.
Oh, yeah, it's such a sad thing. It really is a big problem. And again, it's out there and they keep coming up with new things to add to it. So it is really important. And we had some exhibitors with us at the event on Saturday too, from some of those organizations. And sadly, a lot of those organizations start from parents of children who have passed because of fentanyl or opioid use.
That's awful.
Yeah.
So Big Village PDX is partnered with DeTerra. Am I saying that correctly?
Yes.
Tell me about that.
Yes. DeTerra is a great thing. So we've been trying to get DeTerra in the hands of as many people as we can. It is a way to deactivate drugs. So one of the things we know is that if, you know, you had a sprained ankle and you go to the doctor and they give you, and they don't do it as much anymore, but they give you a bottle of 30 opiates and you take two and then it sits in your cabinet. Those are there and can be tempting to try out. So what we want to do is make sure that there's an easy way to dispose of those. You don't want to flush them down the toilet because then they're going into our water systems. But these bags, you can put pills in there of all kinds, whether they're blood thinners or painkillers, whatever they are. And the contents in there, and you add water, or the contents in there deactivate anything that's going on with that medication. And then you can just throw it in the trash. It's safe then. So it's a really great way to do it. It's hard to get rid of those drugs. And there are like take back places that the DEA puts on where they can take those drugs. But this way you can do it in your own home. We're passing them out as much as possible to get them in those hands.
That's great. Where can we get those? Are they coming from the students?
Yeah, we were there at registration for this past fall at the high schools and having them available every time we table an event. We had them at our event on Saturday. Every time we table, we have them. Portland Public Schools has some too. If anybody's interested in getting some of those and helping us distribute those, it'd be great for you to get in touch with us at Big Village PDX. And we'd love to have you help get those in the hands of people.
Mary Kay, in about the last minute that we have, tell me about what's in the future for Big Village PDX.
We really want to expand our services and campaigns. We're really excited about this conference that we put on, and the Prevention Rocks conference is something that we hope to have as an annual event and grow each year. But we really want to get more people working with us on our boards, committees. It's just a little bit of time out of your day maybe to come help us out. We're always looking for donations of money. You can do that on our site as well. We use those to send these kids to training. We use it to help, you know, buy them pizza for an event that they're having, everything from that to giving them some swag to hand out to other students. So it does take a village to run this organization. And it also takes a village to keep our kids and our families safe. So we encourage you to check out our website. And we'd love to have you join us in our efforts.
So Mary Kay, do you want to give out the web address?
I'd love to. Our web address is bigvillagepdx.org.
Well, Mary Kay, this has been a fantastic conversation. Thanks so much for being on the show.
Oh, thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
We've been talking today with Mary Kay Michaels, chair of the Big Village Coalition. Thanks again.
Thank you.
If you'd like to hear this interview again, just search for Let's Talk Portland on the Odyssey app. Let's Talk Portland is an Odyssey Portland public affairs program.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
For the past 3 seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a 4th season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week, with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.